Welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast 2018-19 season with comedian Tom Holmes.
Hello.
Fantasy football expert Ash Kernsworth.
Hi, everybody.
And me, Craig Hazel. We are back for the 2018-19 season. Football is back. Fantasy yes. Premier League is back. Football's only been away about 6 minutes from the World Cup. But it we is, are back, it? Of course, for another 38 weeks of frustration, torture, wrong decisions. And welcome back to all the listeners who have been with us the last 4 years. We enter season five of the
season episode. Five. Yeah, the tricky season five.
The tricky, fifth album.
Fifth seasons. I think someone's going to get killed off at the end of this season. Okay. Oh. That's just my prediction. That's what I'm thinking.
That's yeah. it. Fingers crossed it's Jose Mourinho. But yeah, so you'll be back for season five of the Gaffer Tapes. Those of you who are new, if you just found us on Google, you're looking for adhesive on Google or yeah. Lycos. Or other 90s search engines, then welcome aboard. Basically, we are your fantasy football companion for the football season. We can promise mispronunciations, misinformation, but hopefully Correct. Some fun as well. That's what fantasy football is about to us, and hopefully we become a bit of what fantasy football is about to you over the next 38 weeks.
Absolutely.
Exactly, isn't that right? Nice? Isn't that as nice? Always, we will be looking ahead to next game week, which football season starts a week on Friday. Crazy.
Mad, yeah. And 10th. Then, I know. Put that in your diaries, please.
Yeah, but I don't imagine. Who uses a diary? I saw a Facebook status the other day of a bloke who went, anyone who's booked, wait for you'll like this, Tom, and Ash, actually, we're both married men. As someone, he said, anyone who's booked me as their photographer for their wedding, could they let me know because I've lost my diary?
That's a man after my own heart. I love it. I've got a diary. I've got a paper diary. Well, because I find it so much easier.
You've both been married. Actually, your wedding was like pretty cool and awesome because you went away and basically eloped. But Tom, yours was like a lovely traditional wedding.
Oh, I thought you were going to slag it off. Go, Ash, yours was awesome. Tom, yours was shit, mate. It was
Tom,
fucking
yours
boring.
Yours was lovely. But as a man who's gone through the stress of getting it, I will tell you one thing that most brides don't want is a man on Facebook going, can you let me know if you booked me as your photographer?
Yeah, to be fair, I'd be furious.
Like, go Imagine online. That. There's diaries online. You can have both. It's fine.
Yeah, I like to write it in a diary and then take a photo of that diary entry so it's in my phone as well. That is what I
Tom
actually
just
do.
Tom just has 365 photos on his year. On his
just screen. Hang on, what's this? No, it's a blank one. It's another blank one. I'm fine. I can do whatever today.
But in Tom's photo diary, it will say the football season starts next Friday. Sacrilege. Yes. A Friday night kickoff, my granddad would roll his grave if he even liked football, which he didn't, but he would do.
And if he was dead.
Yes, he's not. But there's a lot of things happening between now and then. A lot of teams already on, people already tweeting their teams. But for those of you who haven't listened to the podcast before, generally what will happen is we'll run over all the results from the week just gone, which we can't do now. And then there's a chance for you to ask all your questions on all social media platforms in part two. And in part three, we'll look ahead to the next game and have a what is now traditional Gaffer Tapes quiz. We'll talk about a bit later on. And we've got a whole host of new features for this year. We've been very excited, very forward-thinking and very un-soccer AM in that we freshened things up. We've said goodbye to some old features.
We're saying goodbye to some old features.
I'm sure they'll come back.
But say it maybe. You never know.
Exactly.
Depends how well these new features go.
Hello to some new ones for some new listeners. But are you all excited for the football season? Because normally you have a big long summer break, but the World Cup was so great, I feel like football's just continued.
I feel exhausted after the World Cup.
Yeah.
I felt sort of a little bit hungover and a bit depressed afterwards for a while. I mean, I was actually hungover and quite depressed afterwards. But it's kind of, I think I'm just about rejuvenating myself. And I think by the time that next Friday rolls around, I'll be ready for another year of disappointment. I'm looking forward to it.
Again, for new listeners who don't know a bit about us, who we support, what we do, shall I give you like formal intros? Would you like that?
Yeah, that'd be nice, mate. Yeah,
so
it'd be lovely.
This is the Gaffer award-winning Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast in the fifth season of broadcasting. Tom Holmes, is an Arsenal fan who likens himself to Ray Parler on the pitch. He's an award-nominated comedian and writer who was once described by the Daily Mirror as well worth watching.
Well worth watching! Exclamation mark!
Oh wow! Not as described as a comedian.
Yeah, no, they didn't say that. They just said, well worth watching. Yeah. He's not funny, but,
was,
you know. Yeah,
he was street performing at the time as a mime.
I was, yeah, juggling. Very good at juggling.
And Ash Kernsworth is a fantasy football expert, regularly finishing in the top 5%, once finished in the top 100 in the world. Last year
came like 850th or something in the world, and then came 82nd one year in the world. So, I mean, literally, not only are we the funniest fantasy football podcast, we have someone who's done better than all the rest of them anyway. So we literally got everything. I'll be doing juggling. I'm doing juggling now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
Four tiny children and a midget, and I'm riding a unicycle. Yeah. So it's all happening.
Ash likes West Ham elaborate board games and dislikes Sam Allardyce and football technology. So there's just a few of Ash's likes and dislikes.
There you go.
Shall I give you
a little intro before we start?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to use the word quinoa. No. Craig is bloody TV profesh. Very much the dark horse of the gaffer tape. Very good. Knows his football. Knows his ins and outs. If you need, you know, betting tips on second division Russian tiddlywinks, he's your man. He knows all that shit. And a bloody good bloke as well, isn't he? Do you know what? He's a bloody good bloke.
Mine felt nicer and slicker than yours, but it's okay.
Yeah, I hadn't prepared anything.
But, you know, as if Eurovision, but together we are the Gaffer Tapes, don't do that. But we'll be with you over the season, talking a lot of football, and you'll probably disagree with a lot of us. But, yeah, Arsenal West Ham then, let's talk a bit of football specifically to you guys. We don't indulge ourselves often throughout the season, but as we haven't got any games to review, are you optimistic? Tom's given us an insight, but Ash, are you optimistic for this season?
Yeah, more so than last.
Fabianski in goal.
Lots of signings.
For example. Loads of people have done a lot of signings. Apart from Tottenham, everyone's gone pretty crazy. I think it's good. Yeah, I'm really excited, actually.
But I think some of your signings are quite... I know this isn't a word that isn't... It's not exactly sexy, but they're sensible, some of them.
Yeah.
But Fabianski was a very smart signing.
Oh, definitely.
Like Ryan Fredericks, it could be a savvy bit of business. He's a decent fullback. I like Fredericks. Like Wilshere, probably low risk because he won't be on much anyway. Like be on a incentivized based deal, and then a couple of wild cards like Balbuena and Anderson. No one really saw that coming.
Yeah.
Or Yarmolenko, really?
No, I think you're right. It's so difficult. They're one of those teams so random, like old Everton, where they could easily be in 3 months' time. We could be saying, God, are they going to push for the Champions League? Or, oh my God, are they relegated? Yeah. Are they going to fire their manager? You just got no way of knowing.
I feel like this season with signings, there's been a lot of teams who have done a lot of volume in signings. But from a fantasy football point of view, there haven't been many where I've gone, oh, holy shit, I need him.
Huge movements.
Brighton signed 10 or 11 players, and I couldn't tell you if I fancy any of them or not.
Yeah. It's just made it really hard to tell who's going to play. It's going to be a lot more about rotation and picking these nailed-on players than ever before.
I think so. I think there's going to be a lot of wait and see, isn't there?
Yeah.
One of the biggest has to be Mahrez. But whether that impacts your fantasy football, I don't really know.
No, but you've got to be looking up for Arsenal's prospects.
Yeah. I'm very much looking at those boys. I think he's done a decent bit of business. Yeah. Strengthen the squad, which is what we need. He hasn't really bought the big names, but
Arsenal fans that I know could have signed no one. You could have done a Spurs, and Arsenal fans would still be optimistic because it's new. There's a whole generation who don't know. This is a new manager. This is a new way of playing football. This is a new.
We said last year. Yeah, there's a lot of Arsenal fans that I know that have never known another manager.
So I think you could have done no business and people would have been quite excited still to turn up and watch.
Yeah,
and go,
absolutely.
Well, I don't know what we're going to play.
He spent a lot of money, but it hasn't been an obscene amount. He hasn't gone straight in and gone, right, all guns blazing and spent stupid money. He spent clever, I think. It's optimistic, isn't it? Yeah, I'm happy as an Arsenal fan.
It's your outs that are more relevant. You obviously let a lot of youth players go, but you also, it's the first time the likes of... I know they didn't play as much, but Mertesacker, Cazorla, Wilshere all gone. And it's that's kind of, that's a few big names.
I'm happy for Santi, bless him, because, he was... I mean, there was a lot of talk about he might lose his fucking foot or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What?
Cazorla, they were saying that there was potential. He didn't play football for about 650 days or something.
Yeah, and that's the rule. If you don't play for 60 days, you lose your foot.
They will take your foot. They will take your foot. Wenger himself will take your foot with a large sword in a ceremony. on a ceremony on top of Castle Grayskull. And he'll take your foot.
I've been watching like Handmaid's Tale. I could see that happening. Yeah, he just loses
his foot. Have you been watching that? My missus watches that.
Yeah. That's who I watch you with.
Is it? Really? Because she does. She disappears upstairs and comes down crying. And I didn't realise that's what happens. Oh, that's weird. Okay. That makes a lot of sense now.
It's very good. It is really good. Yeah. I mean, it's a conversation for another time, but...
Well, she says she's crying. She always says, can you just leave a box of tissues up here?
It's your own wife.
Sorry. No, sorry, that is... No. But she does. She does. She genuinely does cry about it.
Yeah, it is quite harrowing.
It's pretty harrowing. I don't watch it. I was downstairs watching You've Been Framed or something. Just keep it light.
That's harrowing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Lisa Riley used to present it. That was harrowing.
Beadle's dead now. So.
Yeah. There you go. That's Beadle covered. Tick. That was on the rundown.
Done Beadle. We've done that in the first 10 minutes.
But West, we did talk about it a bit, but West Ham signing Fabianski. I mean, I think we actually called that in March. On the podcast,
we did. Yes, just so you know. Yes, I think it was probably me that did that.
It was actually definitely me, but it's fine.
Yes, I would say it probably was.
But yeah, as Tom nicely pointed out on our professional run, that third top scoring goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and the fact that he's still in FPL terms 4.5 million is madness.
I think last year he made the most saves, and West Ham conceded the most shots.
Yeah.
So, obviously, change of manager, but still, they align pretty well.
Yeah, so he's just going to be a lot busier. Save.
Goal. I think he could... I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it? Like, they're going to get smashed every so often, but, I mean, he's going to...
Oh, he's still a great fit. He's my second keeper.
He's got to be hoping what he loses in bonus points for saves, he gains in clean sheet points this season, isn't it?
Really? I don't think he cares about FPL as much as actual real life.
I think
doing
probably
a
some
good
clean
job.
Sheets, yeah, to him, he does want those.
He won't care. He won't be thinking about bonus points.
No, I don't
do you think there's any
times.
Players that do that? Maybe Begovic, our mate Asmir. Yeah, maybe maybe when he does it, he'll think...
Fabianski walking into the dressing room after Swansea get dicked 5-0 by City going... Three bonus points for me.
Checking his phone, just updating it. I think I'm on for the mate.
We conceded 5, and I've still got 8 points.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Mental. In the odds scoring system, that would have been -10. I've done it.
Loving it. Oh, they're all crying.
And also, Nick Pope dislocated his shoulder against Aberdeen in the Europa League qualifier.
Yeah.
Unknown injury date return, but obviously... he would have been in a lot of drafts, I think, which means Fabianski is going to be even more popular because he kind of... Pope was the fourth top scoring that's available to you.
Yeah.
So then you
either go Fabianski or Ryan. Pickford's going to get a lot of picks because he was such a stud in the World Cup.
It's the same with the likes of Maguire and Trippier are very highly picked at this stage.
Yeah.
There's obviously talk about Maguire going to United, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think Mourinho's sort of... angry, depressed little face might have put him off a little bit because he has been what has been up with Jose Mourinho.
I know,
mad.
He's lost his mind a little bit.
Dishevelled, isn't he? He's gone mad.
He's doing some strange things.
Mm.
But so with Pope,
yeah,
he only came in last season because Heaton was injured.
That's correct.
He did.
Yeah, so and he had a stonking season.
If he's out for too long, Pope, then he'll worry that he'll lose his place to Heaton, who's obviously a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly. Although, according to the app, Heaton is orange as well, yellow.
Really?
They're both 75%.
Well, as you know, first episode of season starts, you mean to go on. Ben Dinnery on Twitter's your man to find out for that when it goes. He's the injury expert. He's a verified football injury expert who gets to know everything. But yeah, Fabianski, keeper pick-wise, Pickford's World Cup definitely affected. He's the third most picked keeper. Fabianski, second most picked keeper. But obviously, at the moment, the number one pick keeper is your man, David De Gea.
I've got him and Fabianski. They're my two keepers. Because I don't think it's a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, it's not,
six
it's 4.5
and
4.5
respectively. And it's not too bad, I think. And you could just rotate. Not that I would... I mean, if I could have gone back to last season, I said I would have just stuck De Gea in goal.
Yeah.
Every game. And, yeah. And well, I'm sure we'll come to Salah. But, yeah captain on bad
I mean,
on Salah.
If De Gea leaves, then Mourinho, I worry about him. I worry about his health.
Yeah.
He's saying some crazy stuff in the press. Like, you know, the Liverpool Man United game, he came out saying they played their strongest team. I played a bunch of kids. So what do you expect? And then they showed the average age of the squads, and Liverpool's average age was younger than United's for the game. And he's just doing a lot of crazy. If he was an American school student, you'd be getting the metal detectors out on the way in every day.
Yeah. Thinking, oh, has he been listening to a lot of My Chemical Romance recently?
He's very angry.
Let's keep an eye on him.
Are Jose Mourinho's parents going through a divorce?
Yeah,
that's what maybe. I mean. That's how he's acting at the moment, Jose.
He started like drawing pentagrams on his wall and listening to Marilyn Manson and stuff, isn't he? Yeah, I don't know. He does look, but it's just because he knows that no matter what he does, I don't think he's going to be beating City this year. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a happy home life, is it?
It's not a happy home life. And his wife's got alopecia, so.
That's not true.
No,
that's not true. Just to say that it's not true. If you're listening, Mrs. Mourinho. Also,
she's a big fan of the show. So
yeah, exactly. Loves it.
You touched on it. The Salah most expensive for 13 million, Tom.
Yes, he is. It kind of is at the point where either you have him or you don't.
Really?
Which is 50-50. You know, it's one of them. You can't both have him and not have him. It's like having your cake and eating it.
It's a good thing because I'm the fantasy football expert. Mm. We've got someone here with all the stats.
I've got all the stats. Either you have him or you don't. I don't quite know what I meant. I knew what I meant. 50%
of the people
mind.
Have got him.
Yeah.
That's the options. You can't.
How many people haven't? Yeah.
I've seen a lot of teams on Twitter. We have a large sort of Twitter. I think Twitter is where we sort of concentrate most of our stuff. We've got all the other bits and bobs, but we're bloody good at Twitter. And I've seen a lot of teams, and yeah, it's there's a big difference between the teams that have him and don't. You have to compromise a fucking lot if you have him, and if you don't, then you go fuck me. That midfield's nice, but I've currently got about six teams. No, I've got like three teams. One with, which is my team, which is boring. And then the ones without, you've just got so much more room. It's like, oh, shall I stick in De Bruyne? Yeah, do you know what? I'll have a little bit of Sterling as well. Ooh, lovely.
I think the thing with having Salah is if you start with him, it's 13 million, you can work your squad around it.
Yeah.
And then if for some reason the first couple of games he isn't performing, you can bin him off and get anybody.
And then you'd be a lot looser, won't you? A lot nicer time.
You haven't got him. And then in the first couple of games, he scores a hat trick.
Then you're fucked.
Here's how you're going to get him in. That's taking point hits. That's going to put you even further behind.
I mean, 13 mil's a lot. He started the game at 9 last year, ended at about 10.7.
Yeah, that's such a big jump, isn't it?
It's a massive jump.
Yeah.
It's huge. And then obviously Kane, your second highest, most expensive, 12.5. Well, we've got a question coming up about Kane in August in this second segment. There's a lot of money out there. You do need to really spend it wisely. 30 mil and 12.5.
You can't have both, can you? You can't have 25.5 mil on two players.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. No one's going to get Kane in August, are they? What's the percentage? 33%? You guys are off your tits.
Well, currently, as we speak, there's only 1.7 million people have joined the Fantasy Premier League game so far. So within this next sort of 10 days, there's going to be another 2 million people joining at least more.
That's when the podcast gets released, mate.
Absolutely, yeah. Shall we give our little mini league pin while we're on the subject of the Fantasy Premier League game? This year, for the first time, our mini league is brought to you by monsterbid.co.uk. And we've got bloody good prizes, lads, haven't we? Really good prizes. For the overall winner of the Gaffer Tapes League, there is a PS4 bundle.
Bundle.
I'm not a gamer. I don't know what a bundle means. Every time I've seen the emails, I just keep going, bundle.
Yeah, we'll give them a PS4 then. Everyone in the school will jump on them.
yeah, and give them beats. We get a PS4 bundle for the overall winner, plus monthly Manager of the Month prizes.
Yeah.
Isn't it going to be a bit like telling people that we're basically all this stuff that I'm going
to
win?
Yeah. Imagine if you won it. Would you give it back to charity or to the second place?
I'll have to... When I win it, I'll decide. Yeah.
You'll decide.
I'll decide.
Fair enough. I never really thought about that. Yeah.
Hopefully you don't
win. If you think... But like, I mean, if you're properly nuts and you think you could beat us, then you can join the league, but I mean...
Yeah, if you're a new listener, then I'm also really good. So the pin to join our Fantasy Premier League mini league, not so mini league, is 4817-1594. That's 4817-1594. 1594, or just go to the auto join link, which is thegaffertapes.com/join. But yeah, thanks to monsterbid.co.uk, amazing prizes coming.
It is, and also
monthly.
Those manager of the month prizes mean that even if you're no way near the top of the league, it's well worth keeping on trying, keeping on listening, because you can get those Monster Bid vouchers prizes for manager of the month. In the past, we've given away stuff like,
I think,
here's a signed VHS of David Seaman from the 90s. But this is really cool.
We used to. No, we've always given away good prizes, but we sometimes forget to give them out. But monsterbid.co.uk won't let us forget to give them out.
Because it is, they actually are sponsoring the entire league. It's their league. So
yeah,
it's
basically.
It's a good one. I came fourth in manager of the month 1 year, so now I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think we must have had 12 different manager of the months last season. Yeah. It's always someone
not
different.
12,
yeah.
That would be weird. But
not
think about
it. No, yeah, exactly, because it doesn't last for 12 months. But
we promised
like
we
that,
won an award.
We did.
We promised, we honestly did.
Just a quick look before we go. Some early sort of nice little runs that I noticed. Bournemouth have got a really nice run of fixtures. Burnley's is decent, but I think Everton's is the best. Like, Everton's early run, first sort of 5-6 games, looks very nice. They've got new boys Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Huddersfield and West Ham. And obviously Everton have been one of the teams that have been splashing the cash a little bit.
Yeah.
Brought old Rickarlison, who was a big name from, what, the first half of the season last year. Certainly.
When
half
he was
generous.
Playing under the Everton manager.
Under the Everton manager, yes. Oh, there we go. That's why he's here.
It will be interesting. They should have been a good side last year, but for whatever reason, it just all went quite badly. But
well, because they spent all the money then, didn't they?
They had this guy. Ah, yeah. The thing is, they got rid of
this guy.
They got rid of Allardyce and Rooney. That I would say were their two biggest problems.
There you go. Yeah,
gunshots. More gunshots.
More gunshots. Yeah, that's true.
But there's a few, there are a few good early standouts for fixtures, aren't there? So it is well worth looking at a few of them when you're putting your team together. And obviously over the coming weeks of the season, we'll have lots more in-depth advice when we start seeing these teams in action. Because right now, let's be honest, God only knows who's going to be starting. But in part two, obviously, we're going to be going through your tweets and questions that we've had. And then in part three, we'll have an actual look at the game week fixtures, put our neck on the line, and we've got some new features coming up too. So all that is coming up in part two and part three of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello and welcome back to part two of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Ash, Tom and Craig. For those of you who join us for the first time, so part two is when it's your part, basically. You get in touch with us with any questions, queries. It can be fantasy football related. Sometimes it's less fantasy football related, but we try and do our best to help. And we cover everything, bit of Facebook, bit of Instagram, bit of Twitter, bit of emails. You can get in touch anywhere you want. We'll give you all the details at the end of the part of how to get in touch. But first up, it's what you've had to ask us on Facebook.
Now it's time to reply to the nerders on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/TheGaffertapes.
Indeed.
Tapes.
There it is. A lovely user-generated jingle sent in by a listener. Not just a listener. Jimmy Jammy. And we've cherished it ever since.
It's been a while. It's been our longest serving jingle, hasn't it, really?
Was Jimmy Jam's the live show?
I think he came to the live show, yes.
He was indeed.
So for new listeners, we also did a sellout show.
We did, last October.
The London Palladium. They don't need to know.
It was. And then after that, the
O2.
Club in Soho.
Phoenix Artist Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely stuff.
Last October.
One of my favourite listener anecdotes that's been sent to us over the years was Jimmy Jammy, one of our listeners. That was his Twitter handle, by the way, before we had really known who he was the first time we tweeted in. And he made a loop of me and Tom just going, Jimmy Jammy, Jimmy Jammy, Jammy Jammy, Jimmy Jammy, Jimmy Jammy. And he made it his message tone. He said it drove his wife fucking bananas.
Every time he got a text, his phone went, Jimmy Jammy, Jammy,
just
Jimmy Jammy.
Me and
Jimmy,
Tom
Jimmy.
Saying his names on a loop. It's great stuff.
So anyway, he hasn't sent
in a question, but someone else has.
No. Yes, we got one from Darren Jones on the Facebook.
He said,
seems like a question we asked 12 months ago, but Aguero or Jesus this season? Jesus is more expensive than he was. Defo can't have both. Thanks.
Who's we, Darren? Who are you speaking on behalf of? What's this collective? Are you an underground collective? Who are you?
Who the fuck are you, Darren?
I don't know.
That could be the first question that we ask this year. Who the fuck is Darren?
Let's not get aggressive with Darren.
It depends who... you don't know who's going to play. I've got Aguero in my team at the moment.
But see, last year, Jesus was a lot cheaper. At the moment, it's Aguero 11, Jesus 10.5. Jesus was that little bit cheaper. And when he played, he didn't play a lot. But as we said, until he got injured, he was getting a goal or an assist every game he played, whether he played 20 minutes or played 70 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And obviously, he did get injured last season.
Well, the people, the masses are with Ash. Aguero's 10% more picked right now. It's because it feels that they're both expensive risks, aren't they? And it falls under that wait and see category that Ash was talking about.
Yeah, I just think it's so difficult. There's a couple of players for Man City that are nailed on, I guess.
Is there anyone nailed on now?
I think
Silva was so fantastic last season. He's nailed on.
Do you think Silva's nailed on? Because he was the guy that was nailed on. He was incredible last year, even though he did get less points than Sterling.
De Bruyne is nailed on. And I'll tell you who else is. No one on this planet will be happier than Pep Guardiola that Leroy Sané didn't go to the World Cup.
I think for the start of the season, Sane.
That's
will
a
be.
Very good point, actually. Because he'll be fresher than the rest of them.
Hasn't been to the World Cup. He's gagging to just prove that he's still one of the best players in the world. Mm. And he's phenomenal. I think Sane's going to be great. And I think the striker problem, the Aguero Jesus thing, I don't know if you agree, Ash, it's a high risk when you consider for the same kind of price you can get Aubameyang, who finished the season very, very strongly. And you imagine is going to be a big, big part of the new Arsenal.
I think either Lacazette or Aubameyang are great shouts. The only thing is, when you can't necessarily compare them because Aubameyang is a midfielder. Mm. He's going to be played wide on the left, I think. So he's in the same category as someone like Salah or Pedro, or Hazard, who are basically strikers, but classed as midfielders. Aubameyang is classed as a striker, but he's going to be playing in midfield.
It's kind of that. Well, I know what you mean. It's not an out-and-out striker, but he's
a bit
goals
deeper,
last season.
But yeah, I think he's going to be incredible.
And Lacazette have had good pre-seasons, though. Like they both scored goals.
I've gone Aubameyang over.
But Lacazette is playing in. Like, obviously, Aubameyang's a better player, but Lacazette's playing.
Yeah, in a more
he's going
traditional,
to play forward. Like, it's all right if you've got, say, you've got a defender who's playing as a midfielder, or a midfielder who's playing as a striker, or goalkeeper who's playing as an attacking forward.
Yeah,
but you don't really want to be going backwards.
No.
Yeah,
if you're debating between Aguero and Jesus for the original question because you want a Man City attacking goal-scoring threat,
then the answer is Aubameyang.
The answer for me is Leroy Sané because I can't ignore him at 9.5 million having had a football-free summer.
But then if you look at their fixtures, can you go into the season without three Man City players?
Oh, no, you still need the three, but I guess then you could have, Silva and a defender.
It is incredibly worrying then that you're both agreeing that you can't go without three. I don't currently have one, so
yeah,
that's
and
something
they
I'm
did
gonna...
nothing to prove they were any good last season, I guess, Tom.
No, that's absolutely true. That's true. Oh, fuck.
I think it's the same stuff. Like if you could go with neither, but then you'd have to pick two, like guess which two midfielders they're going to
have. You could go cheaper, couldn't you? But then,
if any listeners can hear any tapping, it's not a breakup. It's just Tom logging into his team as we speak to make the necessary changes.
On my typewriter, just checking. Checking
But he just typed it into Lycos again. But thanks, Darren Jones.
Thanks, Darren Jones. Hope that didn't answer any of your questions.
So we're saying Aguero. Over the two, start with Aguero.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Fair enough. I genuinely would have said Jesus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Craig? Hi, Ricker?
Sané.
Leroy Sané. Hey, there we go. Let's answer that.
All right.
We got another Facebook from Jonathan Flaypetty. Who is either really posh or his parents weren't married. which players who played in the World Cup should we 100% avoid for the first few matches? One name springs to mind.
It's got to be Kane, isn't it?
It's got to be Kane. Yeah, we talked about this in our second World Cup episode that Craig was absent for. We said about how Craig always believed in the hoodoo, the August hoodoo, and now surely it's even more evident than before the fact that he's been at a World Cup.
When I was asked the last season, there was a great question from someone. It might have been from Child of Divorce, Jonathan Flaypetty, I don't know. Yeah. It was that, what's your biggest regret of the season? And mine was that I was stubborn by keeping Kane in August. Yeah. And I just thought, it's intangible. It's not real. You can't quantify it. There's no reason he won't score in August. And I thought, no, that's ridiculous. But actually, psychology is real. Like, maybe he's just a slow start. Maybe Tottenham don't perform as well in that August for that system. Yeah. And on top of the World Cup now, and the thing I said that I promise I'll do this season is I won't have Kane in August. And I definitely won't now.
No.
Yeah.
It's one of them where I obviously have him in my main team, but then I've got him in my secret sausage. He's well in my sausage. He's got the armband in the sausage, just in case.
I think, assuming Mahrez, who picked up a knock, is back. Apparently, he's going to be back for the Charity Shield.
Yes, it's called now. Yeah.
The Excellence Certificate.
The Hunger Games, I think it's called now.
Yeah, exactly. So, assuming he's back, I think Sterling's not going to start the season.
Do you think? Yeah, I think just adding him, it just confuses what last season was already the most fucking confusing thing ever, trying to work out that City midfield.
I guess they'll. So
adding
maybe
another
that,
big name in.
So maybe Mahrez is one then. Because
maybe.
Presuming they'll rest Sterling. Like.
Yeah. Well, Sterling, and also, despite England obviously having a very positive vibe of a World Cup, Sterling still came out of it as a guy who needed protecting a little bit from the public opinion, didn't they? So it is. Yeah, I don't know. Kane's the obvious choice, isn't it? Can we just say about that question, what I really enjoyed is the question read, actually, which players who played in the WC should we 100 avoid? And Tom nearly read it as wild card and tried to get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, did I? That was just, do you know what? That was just the inner FPL player in me that just, it happened.
Oh, shit, you know what I'm going to do this out. Year? I'm going to wild card week one.
No,
like wild card week zero. I'm going to play my wild card
now.
You're
playing wild card for no
reason.
That's
very arrogant.
Yeah,
that is very arrogant. Still probably beat
someone
me.
Clearly doesn't like PlayStation PS4s.
yeah, or monthly gifts as well.
Yeah, Ash is like, I'm more an Xbox man.
N64 for me. Thanks very much, guys. Let us do some other questions from another media platform, which we're a lot better at, Verifone. In a section we like to call Tweets for my tweet.
Who's asking?
That was sassy. That was the most sassy you've ever brought to that.
It was like a RuPaul's Drag Race version.
Is that your new season resolution, to be just a bit sassier?
Yeah.
Is that why you're wearing a dress, a cocktail dress?
Correct.
I did wonder. I was like, is he wearing a dress?
And he's never done the podcast from lying on a grand piano before.
Yeah, with a condom on, which is incredible.
jingles are actually very much like RuPaul Drag Race's jingles.
Yeah.
Are they?
They are.
Because all of RuPaul's Drag Race jingles is just RuPaul singing it in some weird way. Like, she already know the house. That's one of them. That's genuinely one of them.
So you're saying that this person is someone else, yet again, who is stealing things from us?
I think RuPaul outdates us.
They're all fucking A.
Yeah. Fantasy football, though, so he could take your spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he can be the Tom of the podcast. Strand Baron.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that sink in. That person tweeted us and said, last year I called people on Tom Carroll being the next Ronaldo. This year, Ash just shaking his head because I can't read. This year, everyone on Twitter thinks Arnautovic is the new Pele. Have I missed something?
I was shaking my head because
sorry. I thought it was because I started reading incorrectly.
I don't go on Twitter very much.
You don't, that's correct.
Ever. I can't believe people were calling Tom Carroll the next Ronaldo, or that people think Arnautovic is Pele.
I don't know if we got accused, because we basically last year said Tom Carroll is a good fifth midfielder at 4.5 million, I believe.
Yeah, but I think that was at the end of the season before, wasn't it? Was it even last season?
Yeah, possibly.
I can't remember. It was fucking ages ago.
Well, maybe
but he was. He was decent. He ended the 16-17 season really positively.
Well, at that time, he was a guy who, if you want a guy who will play 90 minutes and is 4.5 or 5 million or
that's
whatever,
what it was.
He's your guy. So that's all it was. But maybe on Twitter people are going a bit crazy for it. I don't know. It's a strange place, isn't it?
I guess.
Very strange.
It looks like he supports Brentford. But I guess it would be annoying. Like, you have that thing a lot of times where you support a team and they've got an awful player and like people start saying how good they are and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's very
about?
True. If you don't watch your side, he does support Brentford by the looks of his icon. But my mate who is a big Palace fan and goes to every game, when Balassi was there and all the press was sort of saying 30 million to Liverpool, 40 million to United, are Everton going to come in and swoop in and pay big bucks? He was kind of like, every time he's on Sky, he's great. But if you go to Selhurst Park every week, he's frustrating as shit because he's brilliant like 2 times out of 10, like when he carries the ball. The other 8, he gives it away or his final product isn't good. But yeah. when you saw him in flashes on telly, as we were all done, because we don't go there, we were like, this guy's fucking mustard. Why isn't he playing for one of the top four sides? So I guess maybe that hype does... People like Arnautovic is a classic example. Like, I don't watch him every week. Maybe he's very disappointing if you do watch him every week. I don't know.
Is he that hype? I guess both of these. I suppose, yeah, I'd forgot Tom Carroll was quite hyped, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Is Arnautovic?
Well, he's in a lot of... fantasy football teams, from what I've seen, people that have tweeted us their teams and stuff. I've seen a lot of Arnautovic, but he was fucking amazing, and he's been great pre-season and stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
The problem is he is highly picked. He's 26% picked at the moment, but he's £7 million striker, and I don't know. I don't think he's that represents good value. That's a busy market, that £7 million striker. It's a
a midfielder before?
He was, yeah. So he's a seven million pound forward who scored 116 points last season. And granted, he had an awful start with West Ham, didn't he? Like a dreadful start.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is a good player, but I think there's better risks out there. Strikers like Mitrovic at Fulham, £7 million, and I think he looks like he could be a great pick. So
I think there's
6.5, isn't he?
I think
is he? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, 6.5 for Mitrovic. Yeah. Mm. I think the thing is with strikers is it's so, like, the depth is so short, because loads of them are, you know, this thing where they're forwards but they're midfielders but they're not.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Sterling and Salah are midfielders, but Aubameyang is a striker. You've got the top few, so you've got like Kane, Aubameyang, Aguero, Lukaku, Lacazette, and then it just takes a huge drop.
Yeah, it does.
Like the next set down are just like Rashford and Welbeck. They don't even play.
Yeah, I think that he's in that category, but Wilf Zaha's there, isn't he? He's a £7 million forward.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. It comes back to Ash's point of, do you want a more traditional centre forward? That they're not.
I think as well, he might end up playing back on the wing.
On out of it.
Yeah. So
I actually will be looking.
It would be a disaster. I think.
I think. Hmm. I think Tosin at Everton at £7 million is a better as a very traditional centre forward. I like
certainly
him a lot.
At Tosin because of Everton's run at the start as well. Nice run. Green as the wind.
Apart from winning 22-0, they have been an absolutely atrocious pre-season.
Yeah.
Doesn't really account for much, but...
Whoever organised that 22-0 friendly must have got sacked. Because that's a fucking waste of time, that.
Yeah.
I played for a football team and we won 29-0 twice in one season.
Really?
Absolutely.
Couldn't get the 30th, no?
No. Everyone on the team scored, even the goalkeeper.
Wow.
Crazy. Like, subs, everyone. I got a hat-trick. The only time I ever got a hat-trick.
I think, to be honest, I think Zaha, Arnautovic, like, for £7 million, and Tosin, probably going to be much of a muchness between them.
Yeah, there'll be a gem in there somewhere, won't there, like,
It'll be someone that hasn't shown themselves to us yet.
That sounded very biblical. Is that a Star Wars quote?
Is that, I thought it was a Star Wars quote. He hasn't revealed himself to us.
Well, there's only four. Like that, there is only four £7 million strikers.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be seven or below, won't it? Do you know, I know this isn't a big one, but there's rumours of Danny Ings moving because he needs to save his career.
Within the Premier League?
Yeah. And there was talk of it being Palace for a while because obviously Benteke's proven himself to be an awful footballer.
Dog shit.
So if Ings went to somewhere like Palace and got games as centre forward, he's 5.5 million and obviously his price won't go up even if he gets a move.
I'd like to remind everyone towards the end of last season when I captained Danny Ings and he was my pick of the week and he scored and everyone laughed at me and he scored. So
yeah, but it's one of those things like a broken clock twice a day and all that. Like it was still I only
tipped him once. Just tipped him once. Well,
You clearly don't understand the proverb.
Get him in, Bebe, and people got him in, and they thanked me.
That didn't happen, and that's one of those classic Facebook. This didn't happen, and then this guy came on the bus, and he attacked an old woman, and I stood up and said, "Pick on someone your own size." And then everyone stood up on the bus, and they clapped me. And the bus driver said, "You'll never pay for a bus fare again."
That did happen. We have it recorded on.
Well, no, we haven't recorded. You said evidence. It.
The equivalent would be you doing that, getting on the bus every day, and just saying that to random people till eventually.
That was the only time I've ever tipped Danny Ings.
But you just tip someone mental every week.
Oh yeah, yes. And also because that's
I'm a good laugh.
That's
some
one
great
of those things where
around
I'm
with.
Like, I've got a mate who does it all the time. Like when City were on their like 20 game unbeaten run, and then they'll be playing Brighton away, and they'll go, I fancy Brighton to win this. I fancy Brighton to win this week. If Brighton lose, no one really cares because City were going to win. On the off chance Brighton win, they think they look like a genius, but you're not. You're just picking something ridiculous.
No, there was a reason behind this Danny Ings pick. It was because Liverpool were in the cup, and I was like, they ain't going to be playing for me, no. And they stuck in Ings and he scored, and I called it. Simple as that. Let's move on. We're all FPL experts, all right, mate.
What about as an outside pick, Fernando Llorente?
There's rumour that he's going to start the first game.
Exactly. If Kane is like half injured, Son, when do the Asian Games start?
No idea.
Because he's going to be away.
I'll be off to Turkmenistan when they do.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it last. On the other thing, Son might get called up to the bloody military, might
he? So that's why. So he's got to play the Asian Games to try and avoid that.
Yeah.
And I think they overlap with the start of the season. So Llorente has a 6 million cheeky little option.
Just for the start.
Because Tottenham have got loads of easy games.
Newcastle
first
game. I
would be livid on Football Manager if I lost one of my players to military service.
Yeah. That does sound like the fucking Hunger Games. If they win a medal, then he doesn't have to go to war. Fucking hell, is that?
And even
I don't know, are they at war?
Last spot where.
Are they currently at war? I'm not sure.
They changed the rules as well, where it used to be if you won the World Cup, you would be allowed off military service. I think they changed it because they were like, well, it's not fair. Because if you win the World Cup of like table tennis,
yeah,
is that the same as winning the Football World Cup?
Exactly, yeah.
Or like if you win the Street Fighter World
Cup. They love table tennis, don't they?
Probably.
Moving and on. Then,
yeah. So they now, the only way you can do it, I believe, is you have to win the Asian Games. Or the Olympics.
Did they create a Games between North Korea and South Korea and just go like, oh, fucking sort it out.
So guys, it's the new Pelé.
Yeah.
Moving on. Correct.
Yeah, so get Llorente instead.
Get Llorente instead of all of them. FPL Problems says, are these Portuguese Wolves players actually any good? There's a lot of them.
There's been loads of good stats about how they've got more Portuguese players than the whole Portuguese league.
Yeah, there was a lot. We did some hilarious tweets on the subject, but they were very funny, I promise.
Yeah, they always are. Craig, what do you think about the Portuguese Wolves players? Because I've certainly been looking at them and thinking, oh, if they're that good and they're that cheap, I'll fucking have them.
Yeah, you don't have to have them all, so that is a good
No, you're not allowed Pokemon. To have them all.
But it's like, it is genuinely impressive, some of the signings they're making, it has to be said. So it is a weird one. Some of them are a bit of a surprise. The biggest surprise for me of all of them was actually Rui Patricio in goal. So I don't think, like, if you're looking for a backup keeper to have on there, then I don't think Patricio's a bad shout because he's only 4.5 million. And that's that kind of Fabianski mold of someone sitting on the bench and having him on the bench there. If you look at like the Championship and conceded last year, then you want to look at like Middlesbrough the year before. Do you remember I said George Friend would be a good pick because Middlesbrough didn't concede many goals. So Wolves and Cardiff conceded the least goals in the Championship last year.
Championship.
And Wolves also doubled it up by being the highest scorers. So it's not like they're obviously going to concede more in the Premier League than they would have in the Championship game. But there is this kind of defensive structure there. And I think of all their signings, I was surprised that Rui Patricio went. He's not an outstanding, brilliant goalkeeper, but he does now represent a 4.5 million goalkeeper, the Portuguese international goalkeeper playing for a newly promoted side. So I think he's worth having in there.
That's a good shout.
I think Moutinho, as much as that's like very surprising they signed him, I don't think he'll be much of a point scorer. But I think Ruben Neves will be. Ruben Neves, like a good assister, takes set pieces, had a good season last season, only 5 million. I think if you're looking for a 5 million midfielder, he's good. And Diogo Jota, kind of plays more further forward. But I think 6.5 million, he's a bit steep. So I'll be looking at Neves and Patricio as the two Wolves players to
Neves
consider.
Neves and Patricio, right there.
So I had Jota in my team.
Jota.
And I just took him out about five minutes ago. Because...
5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
I knew you weren't listening to my anecdotes.
Because Willian is now being rumoured to be both big Spanish clubs wanting, don't they?
He's on holiday, isn't he?
So if he goes there, I think Pedro becomes certain to play. I think he might be anyway.
Is that why I glimpsed Pedro in your team?
Exactly. So Pedro and Jota at the same price. If Pedro starts, I would think it's got to be him, hasn't it?
Are they? Are they the same price?
Yeah, it's a bit crazy.
That is
crazy,
isn't
it? Because
he doesn't
normally play. Because he used to be loads more expensive, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's such a goal threat, though, isn't he?
Yeah, if he plays regularly. I mean, playing up front for Chelsea, I wonder if it's got his previous values. Like, he ended Like he was 8.8 million at the end of one season, 7.7 last year. So
I really like Jota. Like I think he's very good. He scored. He's a forward. He scored 18 goals last season. For wow. But is he that 0.5 million too expensive as a midfielder? It's tough. But he like an 18 goals in the Championship, all competitions last season. It's hard to ignore, isn't it?
Yeah, he falls into that same spot as a few ones, like Pedro Richarlison.
Yeah,
I think is really good value as well. Yeah.
Although I guess you got to weigh up his 18 goals in the Championship better than 5 goals in the Premiership, which is what Richarlison didn't score past November.
Yeah, he just had a decent start.
Didn't that coincide with the manager leaving?
Yeah, he's not all of a sudden a bad player, is he? So in answer to your question, Richarlison isn't a bad player. That's the Wolves.
Incidentally, before we move on, 6.5. I currently have a young Ryan Sessegnon in my team at 6.5. I can't decide whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm torn.
Yeah, because there was loads the end of last season, everybody was talking about him.
Glistening the thing is, he went, and I think I did a little write-up for it for the World Cup pods, but he went from being what was a left-back to a left-wing-back to a front three. And so he kind of plays, he's one of the first footballers who's grown up since we've all gone to a 3-5-2 type system.
Yeah.
His goal return and is insane for someone of his age playing in that position. But it's tough, isn't it? He's going to be picked a lot, and a lot of people are
going
to do.
He's very highly picked because it's that classic hipster choice of people going,
massively.
Hey, this young guy that no one's ever heard of,
massively.
He's going to be great. And that's kind of what I've done because I've heard you talking about
it. He's dickhead Kevin in the office. But like,
yeah, exactly,
I think
Kevin.
There are other versions of him if you want to do something slightly different from the off. Difference is Fulham have signed well. So that's the other big thing. Like I would, Jota is an example of a great alternate to him. Callum Patterson at Cardiff is another great example of it. A guy who they signed as a right back. He had with a torn cruciate ligament. He only came into their team in late November, back in 60th. No, it wasn't. Late November and scored 10 goals in attacking midfield. An absolute monster in the air. He's like 6'2", 6'3". He signed from Hearts, which is why I know so much about him. But he's much cheaper, but he's an alternate. But the thing that strengthens Sessegnon's case is they've signed Mitrovic permanently. They're signing Alfie Mawson. They've signed Andreas Schürrle on a 2-year loan deal.
Yeah.
Like they've signed strong. They're not a side who are worried about going down. They want to be finishing top 10.
Mm.
So, yeah. But yeah, there you go. That's my Championship knowledge in part.
That's nice. No, I like it. You need to know that shit, don't you, really? We did have some other questions. Thank you for them. But I think we're going to move on to the first of our new features.
More gunshots. Why not gunshots?
More gunshots.
Yeah, so we have a little feature that's been in the works for a while in Tom's brain called the Boot Room. It's effectively a footballing 101 where Ash is going to set us a topic each week, where Tom and I will throw something into the Boot Room. We'll argue a bit. We do that quite a lot. And then Ash will decide what's going to be thrown into footballing hell. And you can get in touch with us on Twitter, which is the whole point of this segment, about what you think, what your pet hates are about all these sorts of things. So before we give you all our contact details, Ash...
That's good. We should get Nick Hancock to come and guest host this section every week.
Yeah, we should.
Footballing hell.
He's definitely free, isn't he?
Nick Hancock's Boot Room. I've got that on VHS somewhere.
Just not during Panto season.
No.
Ash, what topic are we going to be debating this week?
First of all, someone needs to do a jingle. I suggest welcome to the Boot Room.
Welcome to the Boot Room.
Exactly.
Great.
And then we've got whatever things we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Done. So why don't you guys tell me about fans?
The best and worst thing about football.
Yeah,
fans. You bloody need them in this heat. I've got two running in my house.
So that's a point for Craig. So weird.
Ash is like, it's not another quiz. Ash is like, point. So, yeah. Neil versus Real. That's what I'd put in the fucking Boot Room for quizzes.
Oh, get out of town.
Let me tell you what annoys me about
fans. You'd be lynched.
Let me tell you what annoys me about fans. Now, you're going to have to bear with me. You might get angry. I'm going to say one word. It's going to be divisive.
Okay.
Chanting.
What?
Now
you don't like chanting.
I don't. Well, hang on. I don't like chant. I don't dislike chanting as a rule.
Okay.
Okay. I don't like it when Hare Krishnas do it. Sure, it's invasive. I don't like it. I like it when fans do it sometimes. You get the odd funny chant.
Yeah.
But largely chanting is often offensive. Secondly, the bit that really annoys me is when people aggressively tell you to chant, like, come on, make some noise, you know, atmosphere here. Like, yeah, I'm watching, I pay money to watch the game as I see fit to watch the game. If you want to chant, that's cool, crack on. But I don't need to. I don't need to sing aggressively to enjoy a football match. I can do it anyway. And I hate the comments you get all over, like, Twitter or football forums of fans. Any Hearts forum you go on, it's always there's someone going, oh, we really need to work on the atmosphere. We just need to work on the atmosphere. We don't, mate. We need to work on scoring goals and keeping clean sheets, you dick. Chanting's not doing much.
You get that a lot. Being an Arsenal fan for like 27, 28 years, I have heard that a lot about the lack of atmosphere. But you can't put chanting into the boot room. No,
but you can, because I don't mind. Some chants are funny. Some chants are genuinely, genuinely witty, and I really enjoy them. When Man United fans sang Kanchelskis at the end of Can't Touch This for MC Hammer, brilliant.
Yeah.
When Andy Gorham got diagnosed with schizophrenia and the fans sang There's Only Two Andy Gorhams.
That's the best one, yeah.
He enjoyed it, so it's allowed. But largely...
Well, part of him enjoyed it, part of him fucking hated it.
But largely, they're really cringy jokes that you wouldn't laugh at ordinarily, that if someone works said, you like, go, it's great. And it's the fans who chant are largely the fans I probably dislike. And so I'd be willing to lose chanting to get rid of those people out of my footballing life. So that's my case.
I quite like that. There was a lot of chanting at England games, and people that weren't watching the game, they just wanted to do the chanting, which fuck it, I fucking hate. But what I think deserves to be in the boot room more regarding fans is are the fans on social media, right? I mean, stick by your team, and I'll always have a little bit of something with a Spurs fan or whatever. But it's these people that are just, I mean, it's just hatred. It's just no need to be doing what they're doing. Like, you know, an Arsenal fan or something like, yeah, looking forward to the season, optimistic, and someone jumps in and goes, fucking die, you're fucking shit. And it's just pure anger for no reason. And it's like, I can't possibly like anyone who supports another team. I've got mates that are Tottenham fans. I've got mates that are Chelsea fans. You know, I don't like Tottenham and Chelsea as teams, but I don't dislike them, and I wouldn't go and attack them. I'm getting so fucking wound up. I wouldn't go and get, you know,
you
attack
can't
them.
You can't score points by putting hatred into... I'm going to put famine into the boot room.
Racism, guys. Racism. Racism. It's the unnecessary. I mean, we've got like a relatively big social media account, like a Twitter account. We get a lot of shit, and it's I guess it's the trolling, isn't it? The trolling anything that disagrees with what you think as a fan.
See, so, if you were going to say, the thing I hate with fans, it's another one, is fans who hate their rivals more than they like their team.
Oh, well, that's an absolute classic. Yeah, during the World Cup, we had a lot of that. Yeah.
Or
Scottish people. Yeah, I think we lost a lot of followers the night after we lost to Croatia. So, might have done a tweet that got a lot of love, but also a lot of hate. But yeah, it's exactly that is a perfect example. So Scottish, Irish, and Welsh fans that came out the woodwork to slag off England and how much they hate us after we got to the semi-final of a competition they don't even qualify for. So there you go. We've just lost 4,000
considering a third
listeners
of us
now as well. One third of us are Scottish. Yeah, that's true. But no, so you know, it's just that unnecessary hatred. So, you know, what do you want to put in? Chanting, which is great fun, or hatred?
When I heard about this new feature, I assumed it would be Craig would say something.
Yeah.
And say why we should get rid of it, and you would say why we shouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Is that wrong? Is it just like...
No,
you're
both.
Gonna, so we have, yeah. to, we have to get rid of something.
Oh, yeah, no, you have to get rid of something, mate.
Oh, yeah, you got to... Get rid of one of them.
I've been stitched up. Tom's basically said, let's get rid of murder. And I've said, let's get rid of people singing.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what Tom would have to say for me to want to get rid of chanting, which is basically about the only good thing about football.
What I would say chanting?
What you would have to say for it not to be chanting. Like, it's obviously chanting is not going to go in the
Oh, right.
What?
So,
and obviously hatred or whatever.
No, it's not.
Whatever
thing
you're
it's the fa- it's fans, isn't it? It's those angry fans.
So it's either angry
unnecessarily
people.
Unnecessary hatred of fans. People that go through Twitter looking for Liverpool fans and going, and saying something about them because they're Liverpool fans.
Yeah, so you're going for internet trolls and you're going for chanting.
Fucked here, mate.
I think I've gone too broad with my subject, haven't I?
I think you're way too broad.
Well, this is kind of like a pilot, isn't it, from the boot room. I don't think it's going to make it to TV.
might do. Nick, let's see. Nick Hancock is very out of work, so he might be up for it.
He might be up for it.
If anyone even slightly gets my point and agrees with me, please get in touch. That's the whole point of this. I think Ash is obviously putting hatred in, but next week's topic will hopefully...
So I think the way it should be is that you counter his. Why should chanting stay?
Why should it stay?
He wants to get rid of it.
Oh, I mean, it's lovely, isn't it? It brings everyone together. How many times have you hugged a man you don't know and sang a song?
Exactly, yeah.
There we go. That's all I needed to do.
Yeah. Go to church, mate, if you want that.
Yeah, come on. What do you think about...
Go to fucking church.
Do you support England during the World Cup?
Me? I'm English.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
So you didn't sing It's Coming Home?
Old Lang Syne.
No, I didn't. I sang The Proclaimers just the whole way through. But I fucking hate watching football in pubs.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that's why you want to get rid of chanting, because you're the ultimate armchair fan. You don't even watch the games. You just watch it through the Bet365, like...
Right. I will take a lot of things on this podcast, right? I'll take abuse about apparently being a middle-class hipster with vegetarian eating habits. I won't be called on this podcast is an armchair fan.
I've been
to more games in one season than you two have in your lives. I've had a season ticket at a club for 18 years. I've been to hundreds of games. I've travelled abroad to games. There's no way I am being called an armchair fan by a bloke who... When did you last go to the Emirates? When was the last time you watched an Arsenal game?
Oh, well, I mean, that wasn't me that called you that, but, I don't know, about 18 months ago.
You fucking lying bastard.
No, not since I had my son.
Not on a stadium tour?
I've been to... Before my little boy was born, yes, about 2.5 years ago. Fucking hell. But that wasn't me that said it. Listen, this whole idea was that me and Craig sort of like have a bit of funny sort of... I don't want to use the B word.
Well, you started attacking him. He started calling him names.
I'm just trying to
going on about who's an armchair fan.
I don't even know what an armchair fan means.
Tom.
Anyway, I don't think this is going to make it to TV. I think we'll leave the boot room
Boot room will be back.
But yeah, the boot room will be back. But I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll rehearse it first.
What we do is get in touch. If you want to get your question read out in part two, you can email us info@thegaffertapes.com. You can head to facebook.com/thegaffertapes or go to Instagram, same jazz, thegaffertapes on there. And of course, our Twitter handle @thegaffertapes. But you can tweet us. Doesn't have to be before the pod, doesn't have to be about the pod. You can get in touch at any point because obviously we've got a lot of followers who like to chat to each other with just us there watching weirdly. So you can do all of that by following us @thegaffertapes. In part three, we're going to have a look ahead to the fixtures. And we're also going to put our necks on the line with a pick that we do every single time for game week one with a little bit more structure. And guess what? A new feature. Please don't switch off. We promise it'll be all right. All that's coming up in part three of the Gaffer Tapes. Hello and welcome back to the final part of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast on our season opener. If you got through the boot room and are still here, thank you very much. It must feel like game week 38 already.
Yeah.
But we're still here. Let us know what you think about it. And I feel like it could be one of those so bad it's good features that continues for a long time, much like the aforementioned You've Been Framed did. At this point, normally we'll look forward to the next game. So we're going to have a look at that game week one quickly. As we said earlier, lads, it starts on a Friday night madness.
Friday Night Football, the 10th of August. Write it in your diary, then take a photograph of the diary entry.
It's the only way to do it.
And don't lose that diary if you have a wedding booking and you are a photographer. Yes. But that Friday night game isn't just any old game. It is Man United at home to Leicester, so it should be actually quite a good one. Mourinho will be very depressed. It's going to be exciting. Paul Pogba will hope to start a season with a bang. He's a guy we haven't spoken about. Yeah. But after his World Cup, he's a tempting guy to have in your squad, isn't he?
Well, I had him in. But then took him back out again because of the World Cup.
A little bit more expensive than he was last year. $8 million, I believe he's starting out. He started at $7 million last year, and we were like, fucking hell, that is an absolute steal. And then he had a belt in first half of the season.
Yeah. I think I've tried to avoid anybody that's been too heavily World Cupped.
Yeah.
Mm. So, and they're...
That famous verb.
I like that. Yeah. Oh, he's been very World Cupped.
He World Cups. You World Cup, they World Cup, we World Cup.
Very World Cupped, that boy.
He has been very World Cupped. It's very true. Leicester signed from your hometown, Ash, James Maddison.
From Mordor. He's from Mordor as well, isn't he? That is. What is chances there. Fucking hell.
He's going to, I think a few people fancy him. He was one of the championship sort of better players. So he's going to be hopefully getting some game time as Mara. They live life without Mara.
Yeah,
but it's a great opening game. The other games are on Saturday. Televised game is Newcastle versus Spurs. Spurs have been very World Cupped with Eriksen and Kane in particular.
First few game weeks, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Also, I don't know if we did I talk about this earlier about Newcastle. Their opening fixtures. Who's the good Newcastle defender?
Lascelles.
I think a lot of people have got him in. But the Newcastle opening set of fixtures are just insane.
Yeah, it's decent, horrendous.
Oh, yeah. It's like
Tottenham, Cardiff, Chelsea, City, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Bad.
So, like, avoid.
Avoid. Yeah, it's a shame. And the problem is, we talked about this before, but that can cost a guy's job, that.
Yeah, definitely.
And someone mentioned it. I can't remember where I was, but they were talking about how back in the old days, Match of the Day didn't show the league table for the first 6 weeks.
That's right. We said it on the pod, yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Mm. And I was trying to remember who told me it. It's such a good point. I'd never thought about it. And you know, obviously Benitez is quite loved there, so it's fine. But if that was a manager who was in a bit of bother, those fixtures could cost a guy's job because that's fucking horrendous. They could Benitez come out of that with 1 point.
Yeah.
Well, Benitez is loved by the fans, but he's still, you know, potential for him to go.
Yeah.
Definitely.
If you get a draw against Cardiff, bearing in mind, I know they're newly promoted and everyone thinks they're a load of old shit, but Warnock has his sides organised and they won't be easy. So if you get a point against Cardiff and then lose those other four, all of a sudden people are talking like you're going to get relegated, as they did with De Boer last year, and Palace in the end were quite safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a horrendous... Yeah. I know they're randomly generated fixtures, but just coincidentally all the big ones fall in the Christmas period for television. But like, it is a bit bollocks, isn't it? But anyway,
so be it.
But you're right, Ash, that is a good point. Some good players like Lascelles are worth steering clear from.
I'd just like to point out that a second ago, I didn't actually know what Newcastle's fixtures were, and you went, oh yeah, Newcastle's fixtures are unbelievable. And I went, yeah, they're great. And then realised that you were both saying the opposite and went, they're shit, innit? And then I went, really shit. And then I thought for 2 minutes, I thought, should I point that out? Someone will point it out on Twitter. I went, yeah, they're unbelievable. Oh, no, rubbish. I don't know. I haven't seen
it. I assumed you meant, like, oh yeah, they're unbelievable. Like how bad they are?
I think I might have used the word great. I don't know.
Great to watch. Great weather.
Great weather today.
But yeah, exactly. Other fixtures for opening weekend. We've got Bournemouth versus Cardiff, Fulham versus Palace, little London derby already.
Interesting.
Huddersfield versus Chelsea, Watford versus Brighton, and Wolves v Everton tops off Saturday. They always give a newly promoted side a bit of a televised outing that first weekend, just to see the Portuguese contingent.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see.
And as although Wolves have made a lot of signings, as Ash would tell you, they are very World Cupped.
So they're very World Cupped, aren't they?
Kind of World Cupped. And then Sunday games, Liverpool versus West Ham, Southampton versus Burnley, and Arsenal versus City. What?
Arsenal City.
That's interesting. Yeah. Why is Southampton, Burnley and Liverpool, West Ham both on at 1 o'clock?
Because Europa League. Burnley Europa League. So it's not televised. It's just they have to play on a Sunday because they're playing on Thursday.
Cool. Good answer.
Very good answer, correct. Well done. And then Arsenal City, that's going to be très intéressant.
Ridiculously early. I actually think it works in Arsenal's favour playing them early.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're the champions, so play them. Why not? You've got to play them some point. Let's do it when there's a bit of air and mystique about it all. And also there's you know, Man City will less likely to have a settled 11.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I say play them early.
I do feel like Arsenal are the sort of unknown commodity this season.
Yeah, definitely, because you don't know what's going to...
No one's known Arsenal without Wenger. I mean, none of these players, none of these managers. Mm.
I just think you get to go into it, which a club like Arsenal don't do often, but you get to go into it with kind of little expectation, so...
Yeah, just to see how it is. We're probably going to feel pretty damn loose, guys. Pretty damn loose.
But you can sense goals there, because I think it's two teams feeling out how they're going to set up for the season, so...
Just getting what they can while they're young.
Exactly. Absolutely it. Now, normally at this point of the podcast, we would all say, we'll just kind of throw away. So who do you fancy for this? Who do you fancy for this week? What do you reckon? Tom would always say Danny Ings.
Tom said Danny Ings once and it came true.
But we would just sort of say it without... We'd never pick one of the big players. We'd never go, oh, Hazard's going to have a good game. And Ash rightly pointed out, but we're all thinking it, so why don't we say it? And then we thought, let's give it some structure. Let's compete. Let's make this even more competitive so we can fall out more. So let's keep a score, a spreadsheet, if you will, of the scores of these players get throughout the season. But you can't just pick anyone. You have to pick a player from the bottom half. So anyone in the bottom 10, you have to pick a player, and we will measure their points. If they score 6, you get 6. If you score 3, they get 3. So you could, every week we're going to pick a bottom half player for who we tip to put in your team this week and keep the scores over the season. You can dictate what the kind of stakes will be.
That's amazing, Craig. Does this new feature have a name?
It's called the boot route. No, it does have a name. Absolutely. It's called, wait for it, the Gaffer Tapes League of Power Bottoms.
Wow. And Power Bottoms, I believe, is a sex move. Isn't it?
So, the Gaffer Tapes League of Power Bottoms. We're going to be picking our picks from bottom half teams. Now, I hear you say there is no bottom half at the moment because everyone's on 0. You're right. So we're kind of going for traditionally bottom half from last season and newly promoted sides. Obviously, if after one game Chelsea are in the bottom half, then guess what? They qualify for bottom half. So it will take shape as the season goes on. But bottom 10 picks we're going to go for. And I'll start. Shall I start with mine or you?
Yeah, start yours, mate. Yeah, you go.
Okay, so my pick for the first week of the Gaffer Tapes League of Power Bottoms is I've got to go with my heart on this one. And even though they're away from home, even though it's their first game in the Premier League in a long time, and it's definitely his, I'm going with a man who I watched at Hearts for many a year, not from an armchair, but from a seat in a stadium. And it's Callum Patterson, who I think was brilliant in the Championship last year. Mm. He is a midfielder. He celebrated the Championship promotion with Cardiff by drinking Buckfast on the pitch and getting drunk with fans all night. So he's a professional. But I fancy him to get points. I don't know if I do really, but I'm just throwing away my first pick on a player that I bloody love, and it's Callum Patterson.
Brilliant. I like that. That's nice. Ash, do you have one? Who's your power bottom, mate?
Yeah. I don't know if he'll score any points in the first week, but I think he's a good pick generally. And I got Fulham, actually. Every game in the pre-season, Palace defender, 4 million, Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's exactly how you pronounce his name.
Us on this show before, Ash.
No. But so, yeah, 4 million. He's played in all their friendlies.
Dream. Yeah, I've seen him in a few teams, actually. And I kind of thought, what do people know that I don't? Answer probably a lot. Yes. But then
someone 15 I've points last season, so that is ballsy.
Yeah, he's slowly creeping up.
Yeah, I don't know why he's so highly picked, though. Because I've seen him in a lot of teams, like people that seem that they know what they're talking about, like yourself.
Because he's 4 million, and now the higher up, the more people that get him, he turns up higher on those lists of, you know, when you by percentage pick by, he's starting to creep on them.
He's out there.
I think until week 10, he's all right, but then they have got Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, Man United, Burnley. So,
but for this week, he's your pick. Brilliant stuff.
He's your pick. That's nice. I'm going to go while I still can, while they are still bottom 10, and before, you know, he potentially does blow up.
Oh, alphabetically, Man City are bottom half, so Aguero? Yeah,
correct, that's true. No, I'm going to go at the aforementioned Sessegnon, because, I mean, you know, technically he's still, you know, bottom 10 pick.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Is he going to be as good? I don't know, but he is on my team. He's one of my one of the first names on my team sheet, just because, to be fair, I thought he was going to be a lot cheaper than he actually is. But I fancy that. While I could still keep a sliver of
dignity.
That's good. And you should always fancy your power bomb. That's what I say.
Always fancy your power bottom, yeah.
So there,
I'm gonna have to Google it, aren't I?
Well, no, don't do it now. Don't do the work. So then we're going to knock them up into a little spreadsheet as the season goes on for our points throughout the season and let you know how we're getting on. And, you know, tweet us your power bottom. Who's your power bottom tweet? Tweet us at the Gaffer
Tape. Please tweet us, yeah. Hashtag power bottom.
That's felt more successful than the boot room.
It did feel, yeah. It was a lot more simple. We'll get the boot room.
We'll get there right. We'll fine tune it. It's a pre-season, guys. It's a pre-season friendly.
Yeah, absolutely.
The season's in beta at the moment.
Yeah. Just before we do the quiz, boys, we do have another feature. I wanted to do it earlier, but we have been running over a little bit. I was like, I need to pick my time. So basically, and you boys don't really know about this, but I've actually started writing a semi-autobiographical book about my football career as a child.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, the main character is based loosely on me, and the working title at the moment is The Diary of Little Timmy Tinker. So I'm just going to give you a little, I'm just going to read you just chapter one, just see what you think, see if it's, you know, again, it could be something... No, it's not long. They're not very long chapters. I got bored, but you know, it's something that is very, very close to my heart. So the Diary of Little Timmy Tinker, chapter one. Leather. Is that how it starts? No, come on. It's powerful. Leather. Often dismissed and overlooked as a day-to-day convenience we've all simply taken for granted, leather really is the most remarkable and important of materials. Not only do lovely big cows give their lives so that the human race can indulge in themselves in leather jackets, bags, and sex weapons, but that most versatile of materials gave us something far, far more important. Balls. Can I have a size 4, please, Mum? The boy's words reverberate around the polished floors and trainer-clad walls of All Sports Slough. We're not allowed to play with size 5s in the playground because Gary Williams kicked a size 5 at that weird girl who's got nits and smells of dinner and her back brace snapped off. The voice belongs to a young Timmy Tinker, a 7-year-old with grubby knees and a dream in his mind and his heart and his eyes. You see, little Timmy Tinker wants to be a footballer. No, little Timmy Tinker needs to be a footballer. You simply didn't see Timmy without a ball at his feet. If he wasn't playing football, he was watching it. If he wasn't playing football or watching it, he was thinking about it. And if he wasn't playing football or watching football or thinking about it, he was probably asleep because the NHS recommended, even in 1993, that 7-year-olds get an absolute maximum of 10 hours sleep a night. But you can bet your last bowl of Kellogg's banana bubbles that little Timmy Tinker was dreaming of balls when he was asleep. He loved balls. He needed balls. Is leather important? Yes. It's as important to breathing to little Timmy Tinker. Sorry. So that's just chapter one of the Diary of Little Timmy Tinker. And it just gives you...
leather. Leather.
Yeah, yeah, leather. There you go. That just lays out.
And are we
out.
Going to be seeing more of this serialisation of this book?
Oh, well, chapter two's coming next week. Simple as that. Not a problem. I'll probably stick it in earlier so that we get
more listens.
It gets more listens. But yeah, so that's all it is. Yeah,
thanks. You know. That was lovely. That was very
and
heartfelt.
And the girl who smells of dinner with nits and the back brace, she might be in it again. We don't know.
She's now my wife.
She's now my wife. Absolutely. That's the end of the. You ruined the end
Anna
of the,
Kelly,
the book. There.
If you're listening.
If you're listening, take the back brace off. Yes. Let's shall we finish on a quiz, boys?
Yeah, oh, as always.
On a bloody quiz, as always. Yes,
we should say we did one pre-season quiz and I bloody won it.
No, I won it, didn't I?
I should say we did one pre-season quiz and Tom bloody won it.
Yeah, well, we did, because it annoyed me that you went, it doesn't count to the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first. I mean, this is the final of the game.
This is the official first quiz. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we got it. We're ready.
So, the quiz is called.
Your point is to me, but I don't know what it's called.
You do. It's called transfer.
Transgender.
No, no. Transfers more than meets the question, I think.
Well, Transformers.
Questions in disguise. We rehearsed it, Ash.
You two rehearsed it.
Sorry, yeah, Craig did.
Basically,
I didn't know what he was talking
about.
Before
we came on air, Ash went, I've got a quiz about transfers. What shall I call it? And we said, Transformers questions in disguise. And that led to this absolute shithouse that you've just heard.
Transformers. Questions in disguise.
I thought when I played it, Tom, he was just going to sing it.
Oh, yeah, I just kept singing transgender.
It's not often, though. If you've ever seen Mastermind, Ash, you never see him point to one of the contestants who introduced the show.
First question is, come on, are you in the chair? Help me out, please. Pay attention in the leather chair.
Okay, so it's a vague concept of a quiz.
Okay, as always,
sounds like every
nothing
week.
Different.
Okay,
nothing different.
So you've each got three lives.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Christ, this is going to be a real
mess. You've got three lives. To new listeners, but there's no fucking way they're here at this point.
No.
Okay, you know, like how mallets works?
Yeah.
Word okay. Association?
Yeah, sort of like that. But I'm going to say a team. Basically, you just take it in turns to say players they've signed this year.
Oh,
and
Christ.
And you can say there's no more. Like if you think you've got the last one,
no more.
You can say that. Or if you think they haven't done any signings,
that's a good
you can
quiz.
Say that.
This Ash, this is very good.
Okay.
I mean, not for me.
No,
it's
no, mate. I can't name. I told you earlier, Brighton signed about 10. I'd be struggling to name two of them.
Okay, so three lives might not be enough. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, so let's start with Craig. Arsenal.
Lichtsteiner.
Tom?
Oh, Papadopoulopoulos.
Craig?
Leno? I've got no more, though.
Tom?
Are there more?
Gavin? No, that was Gavin was obviously, I don't know, yeah.
Don't know. But Craig?
Well, I've won, haven't I?
There's a
I suppose so.
I thought maybe
the other person would have to should get one in hindsight.
More. Makes sense. I don't know anymore.
Did you both get two?
No, I got one.
Oh,
I
okay. Got two. So it's point to Craig then, yeah. Okay.
That's annoying. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Gavin wasn't right, no?
Gavin wasn't right.
Brazilian guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Chelsea.
Am I going first?
You are.
Oh, fuck. They haven't started. No, that was last season. Fuck. Barkley? Doesn't count, does it?
No. Craig?
Robert Green.
Oh, I should have known that. Fuck, that was everywhere. Rob Green.
I think you're going out here the first attempt.
Oh, shit.
Craig, Liverpool?
Naby Keita.
Oh, the goalie man. The goalie, new goalie man, boy. Oh, the goalie with the hands and the gloves. I don't know his name. Fuck.
Where's he from?
Get
Brazil.
Fucked. Where's he from?
What team's he come from?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't know. Real?
No.
I reckon Liverpool's the only team I'm confident I could get a good few.
See, yeah, go on then.
Naby Keita, Alisson.
Alisson, that was his name.
Fabinho, Shaqiri.
Fucking Shaqiri. How did I not get Shaqiri?
You look like him and everything.
Oh, I know. And I just panicked and I said the goalie man.
Tom's got a very bad record for quick thinking quizzes. He's not good at them.
Yeah, for anything football related, no. No good.
It's a really good quiz.
That was good. That was really good. I like the fact that it was quick as well.
Yeah.
Which we needed after an 8-hour podcast. That was lovely. I enjoyed that.
So 1-0 to Craig. That was
I did.
It was an absolute massacre.
I should have been better. Yeah, that was 3-0. That was the quickest quiz we've ever done in the Gaffer Tate.
It took me far longer to explain it.
They did make it. New listeners did make it to the end. That was lovely. Well done. Enjoyed that.
It actually made sense and it was good.
It did.
And don't expect more of that from Ash over the coming season as he's in charge of quizzes.
Yeah, that's
true. Only knows.
Yeah, we must say. Yeah, we take it in turns every. We take it in turns every year to host the quiz.
Yeah, good. Every 3 years, there's a huge rise in the quality.
Yeah, and the listenership spikes hugely as well.
And believe it or not. You'd think we'd been doing the boot room for 4 years, such was the lack of content, but we genuinely haven't. That was the first time we've done it.
That's the only problem with that, and I think it was probably me that let us down on that, so I do apologise, but
it's okay. The boot
it'll
room
be better
be
next
back,
week. It'll be better next time.
Next week with Boot Room 2, Boot Harder. That will
yeah,
be back.
And the second chapter of
Boot Room
Dying
2,
Little Timmy Tinker.
Boot Room 2, Aren't You Fabulous, will be
yeah.
Here. Next week. Electric Boogaloo. All the ones. But yeah, listen, thank you very much for listening for this first kind of the pre-season before we get going on another 38 game weeks of crazy fixtures and craziness and fantasy football. Remember, don't take it too seriously. Enjoy it, guys. People on Twitter sometimes they get
enjoy
too involved.
It.
It's fun. It's going to be a fun ride. Who knows
don't
what's going
to
happen.
Don't forget to join the league as well.
You can have fun and still win it all anyway.
Exactly, like you did.
Like I do in the quiz.
You did really well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I do in the quiz. But yeah, most importantly, join our league. Tom, hit me with the pin.
4817-1594 or thegaffertapes.com/join.
Because if you win the league this year in association with Monster Shop, you get a fucking PS4 bundle. That's unbelievable. Games, controllers, PS4, bundle! And Manager of the Month obviously get rewarded with some vouchers there too. It's going to be a cool league. Best prize we've ever given away, so please do join in. And obviously follow us on Twitter at The Gaffer Tapes or email us, info@thegaffertapes.com. Get us on Facebook, Instagram, all the usual
YouTube.
Jazz.
Get us on YouTube as well.
And YouTube,
of YouTube,
course.
Man.
We will be here for this season once again. It's lovely to be back. Thank you so much for listening. Any final thoughts, gents?
Thanks. Enjoy it. Enjoy Bloody Game Week 1.
Ash?
Yeah. Have fun.
Ash says have fun. Be safe, guys. Ash says. But thanks very much for listening, guys. All the best for Game Week 1. Thanks very much. And goodbye.